stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 63. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer, real estate agent. We're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or our website at rockonthemoney.com. How you doing, Amanda?
I'm good. Hey, you know, we haven't talked about eBay in a while.
I know. I love eBay. And I haven't posted anything
recently. I am lukewarm on it. I made a rookie mistake this last week.
What happened?
So I always add in that the buyer pays for shipping, but I didn't account for how much the shipping would be. Or I must have calculated the shipping like size measurement incorrectly.
Yeah.
So I actually lost money on the last thing I sold.
I did that on one of my first products because I copied. Okay, so that episode that we did, Dana Crawford, she's a eBay coach. We interviewed her on a whole.
Dana.
Yeah, Dana. That's right. I keep messing that up. She is an eBay certified coach on how to sell on eBay. So we did a whole episode just with her. She's amazing, by the way. And what she said is, hey, to easily post something, just find someone else has sold it, copy over their ad, and repost it. Well, my rookie mistake was what you just said. I did that without double checking what they had for shipping.
Yeah.
They had the complete wrong weight and shipping container and all that.
Yeah.
And I ended up losing like $5 or $10 on my first item just from the shipping. So now I'm careful about what I put down at the bottom. I'm with you.
Yeah. So I sold something and ended up selling for $5 and then the shipping was $20.
Oh, no. Wow.
No, but the buyer paid like $12 or $15 in shipping. So I netted a loss of like $5, which kind of annoyed me driving to the post office thinking I could have just dropped it off at Goodwill and made more money.
Wow. Wow.
So word to the wise, be careful about shipping costs.
And I do have some high dollar items I'm getting ready to sell, but I'm worried that we're in that July where a lot of people are on vacation. And I don't want to miss the opportunity where people are buying a lot online. So I think I'm just going to post and see what happens. I got my Sega Dreamcast still. I haven't posted that.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah.
So I've decided I'm only going to post things that are lightweight at this point.
Gotcha. Yeah. Hey, what we got in this episode 63 of Rock on the Money?
We have some success stories that our social media group have shared with us, along with another 6 social media questions. And then our savvy saving segment today are 10 ways to make money fast, which probably includes not losing money on your eBay listings.
And we're always against fast money, but these are like legit fast money.
You're not going to make millions.
No. We are against investing fast money, like cryptocurrency or day trading. But these are like, you actually have to go out, get off your couch, turn off Netflix, actually have to go do something to make money fast. So no excuses. Hey, we have a brand new Apple iTunes podcast review.
Excellent.
We haven't done this in a while, Amanda.
Please give us reviews.
We need to start reading all of the reviews of our podcast because the people took the time to log into Apple Podcast and post a review. So if you post them, guys, we will read them and give you credit for it. So this one's from Blonde Sassy Stew. I think it would be a flight attendant. That would be a flight attendant, I believe. So this is what she said. Great podcast. I love this podcast because these two are regular people who talk in terms that I can understand, who suggest small things I can do to save money. I think that's you, Amanda. It's genuine and not over my ability to comprehend. Great job.
Oh, thanks, Blonde Sassy Stew.
Blonde Sassy Stew. You like that name?
Mm-hmm, I do.
That's great. And then because I saw that, I threw it out there in our Facebook group at facebook.com/rockonthemoney. There's a link to the group there. It's a private group. We try and keep the spammers out. There's a lot of money spammers that are all day long, Amanda. I'm denying access to people from Nigeria into our group.
Yeah.
As we get more and more popular, the scammers are coming out, and it's like all day long. Amanda sees the request. Anyway, so we have some success stories I thought would
Amanda,
be
Amanda. Amanda ignores the requests. I let you spend your time.
And I research each individual person to see. Yeah, it's a long story. Yeah. It's just a pain in the butt, but it's to keep our people safe. I try and we don't care about how big the group is. At least it's a quality group. Hey,
yeah, if you are getting solicitations, make sure you report it and we'll take care of that.
I can't find everybody. I can't weed them all out, but we've done a pretty good job of that. I got a success story from CB Fly Girl. I'm going to say that's another flight attendant.
Probably. Yeah.
I hope all these flight attendants are happy after October 1st. Because United is laying off 38,000 people.
Yeah.
They announced the other day. Oof, it's going to be ugly. Here's from CB Fly Girl. I just upgraded to a bigger shovel. Thank you, Craig and Amanda, for the inspiration! Exclamation point times four, which you like.
Three.
Sorry. After listening to your podcast, I was inspired that I wanted to pay off the last of my debt quicker. I just decided it was worth suffering to fly more, pay it off sooner than extend the madness. Your honesty and frankness is so appreciated. I'm paying off a small balance of my credit card, and then it's off to the races with my car.
Yeah. So my reaction there is the word frankness, because I was pretty abrupt in one of our last episodes.
Yeah, I get pretty blunt sometimes in the Facebook group, I admit, guys, but sometimes dad has to put the hammer down because people are not listening.
Yeah, I mean, so just a quick regroup. We had a question one or two episodes ago. Someone was asking, you know, how it's not possible to pay off your debt, like people are saying, because, you know, it's so much money. I have like $90,000. I'm only making $15 an hour. So the options are get a bigger shovel. You know, you're going to have to pick up extra jobs. If your husband's sitting home at the couch, he needs a job. Yeah. So that's the frankness this person's referring to. We said, yeah, get a bigger shovel.
I've gotten a little heated lately. I admit. Yeah. I get frustrated sometimes.
So you're a little grumpy.
I'm like grumpy. What was that movie with Clint Eastwood on his porch?
Oh, I don't know. I hate Clint Eastwood movies.
And yeah, he's just a grumpy man, lives by himself. Yeah, that's going to be me yelling at everybody. Get off my grass. And then I ask in our Facebook group, hey, I want some success stories. So let me read a few of these. I haven't scanned them through. Elizabeth, prior to meeting you and Amanda, I guess Craig and Amanda, my bank had me invest in 15 different mutual funds, making them tons of money, but not making any money for me. I was not back to my pre-COVID account balance. After listening to both of you, I dumped SunTrust and put my money in, and they just go on and on about it, but they're making a lot more money now. And I think the big thing that we try to do, guys, we want you to understand the why. Just don't do it because we're telling you. We're giving you all the tools and the facts, figures, and graphs. Why should you do this? That way, when you meet up with a financial advisor or a coworker or Karen at work, poor Karen.
Yeah, I don't even know how that's. I feel bad for every nice Karen out there who has to now share their name with Costco Karen and all these other crazy Karens.
But when a coworker says, oh, you need to go talk to my guy because I've done well. I don't even know what the hell that means. What does I've done well mean? But at least you have some knowledge how to double check what they're saying. Go just double check everything. Check out the financial advisor by going to investor.gov. The federal government has a great place to check out everything for free. Double check, question everything. Question us. That's fine. You know, have the numbers. Just don't go by someone's hearsay. That's what we're trying to get to. Anyway.
Well, let me read one.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Mitch Jeske, that's my brother, actually, says, I didn't even know he was listening to us. So this was a surprise to me. It's been only 2 weeks after shifting my 401k holdings to recommended funds that I've recovered my losses and I'm now trending upwards and already in the green.
Yes. Yeah. Boom. Stocks always go up. I shouldn't say that.
That's David Wondering. Weeks. Only 2 weeks.
Well, there has been a good run with if your mutual funds are heavy on the top end with technology. Yeah. I mean, anything Apple, Amazon, Alibaba lately. We're recording this in July of 2020, if you're listening to this in the future. There's great runs, especially with Chinese stocks. So growth stock mutual funds, top of the S&P 500.
So just to clarify, 401k holdings are going to be mutual funds, not these individual stocks that you're mentioning.
Right. And then we try and educate people, what is that mutual fund? What are the top 10 stocks within that mutual fund? Then when people see the logos, they're like, oh, now it makes sense. So if you hear Microsoft's doing good and that's in the top 10 stocks of that mutual fund, you can think while you're driving your car, like, oh, I'm making money. Hopefully. Pamela in our live studio, as we're recording, says that movie was Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood. Mm. That's a good movie, by the way. All right, let's just move on. We got some social media questions. But guys, if you have success stories based on things you've learned from us, please send them in. We'd love to do more success stories because there's a lot of them out there and we're just not getting a lot of them back. So we would love to hear from you guys. We put a ton of work into this and we do it all for free, don't we, Amanda? It actually costs us money.
Sure.
We're definitely not. We're in baby step two with the podcast. We do not make
money. Not losing money. When Craig mentions we're in debt, he means he is. I'm not putting any money.
And we do have advertising and some affiliates, but we're at least trying to break even on the podcast hosting, the website. All that stuff costs money. But anyway. Social media question one. You ready?
No more success stories?
Is there another good one in there?
Well, here's a good one. From 401k, but I put $100 into Webull on July 2nd and bought $50 worth of alt, up 100%, $150 as of today.
I don't even know what alt is. Alt stock. Yeah. Let me Google that real quick. Altimmune. It's a biotech company, and I'm looking at it. It was up 10% yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I do want to mention that we do have a link to the Webull Act. That's W-E-B-U-L-L. It's an affiliate act. So we do affiliate link. So we do get some credit when you use our link. So please do that to help us with those costs that Craig mentioned.
Absolutely.
But you don't even have to put any money into it. You can just sign up for the app and then practice with paper trading, which is what is referred to as just practicing with no money involved so that you can learn how to invest without having any, you know, personal financial consequences. So you can keep practicing on paper until you feel comfortable enough to actually go into the market.
And by the way, full disclosure, I use the app. I know your husband uses it and we do have money in the. So it's not like we prefer this over Robinhood. A lot of people have heard Robinhood. I personally do not like Robinhood because it gamifies stock trading. It has like little celebrations and all this crap. It's not a game, guys. And so by using this app, it's more like a real trading platform with much more information and you can practice. You cannot do that with Robinhood. I know a lot of people are doing Robinhood, but if you follow us and we do these live streams every day, that's the app that we do. You can follow along and learn the things to look for when you're doing stocks. So this person, ALT, 10.53% on Friday. July 10th. Good shot on that one. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So you can just sign up for the app for free with no investment. And in that case, do they get a free stock? Is that right, Craig?
Yep. You get a free stock when you sign up. And then if you put money in the account up to, I think if you put $100 in, you get a second stock worth at least, I think it's like anywhere from $8 to $200 stock.
Yeah.
Now, full disclosure, a lot of people that are signing up that I've talked to, we're all getting $10 stocks. I just want you to be fully aware of, but everyone seems to be getting at least a $10 stock when they fund it. That's what I got. So, it's a full trading platform. I prefer it over Robinhood. Personal preference. Anyway.
Yep. I just love the fact that you can do paper trading for free.
Yes. Yeah. And guys, if you're new to stock trading, don't jump in without practicing. So this app, the link is in the video. It's in the show notes. It allows you to practice trading. It's called paper trading. And you get live stock prices as you're doing it, as if it was real money. So please practice. Don't just get suckered in to everyone claiming they're making money.
Yeah, especially when you hear all these stories of, oh, I turned $35,000 into $1.2 million in 3 months. I saw another follow-up story this week, Craig, of someone who borrowed like $30,000 to get into the market on Robinhood. It went up to $1 million, and then quickly he lost everything and it was down to $6,000.
Can I add to the pain of what you just said? It was actually $75,000. He did $15,000 on his credit card first. Then he got two $30,000 home equity loans against his house.
Yeah. So he owes all that money and now only has $6,000 to pay it back.
It's a sad story. And he actually told the reporter for the New York Times, he has shakes. He can't eat. He literally has PTSD from how much damage he did to his family and how much more debt he has. And he was at a million.
Yeah. Just like that other kid who committed suicide. They're all Robin Hood stories.
Yeah. They all happen to be on Robin Hood, guys. And you know, I know you say, well, I'm going to be different. That's not how psychology of investing happens, because when you get a million, you get excited. You think, well, then that was easy. I'm going to do two. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times this ends up with a bad ending. It's just don't get suckered in. Anyway, moving on to social media. Yeah, that, now I'm all depressed. Thanks.
Yeah.
Social media question one. I hear you guys recommend 100% Roth investing in my 401k. I heard that I don't get the company match at my airline if I switch to a Roth. What should I do? That's not true. That's rumor. You do get a company match if you're in a Roth. All the Roth is a tax treatment of the money that you're putting in. So a Roth money means that money goes into your 401k after payroll taxes. If you do the regular traditional 401k deposits, that goes in pre-tax before your payroll taxes are done. All company matches are actually traditional. They get put in and you still got to pay tax on those. So the Roth thing has nothing to do with your company match. That's bad information that you have. But just know that all company matches, no matter where you work, by IRS rules, are pre-tax, and you would have to pay tax on those in the future if you do not convert them. So that's just
But you can convert them right away to Roth and just pay the tax on them immediately.
There's a number of people, including Dave Ramsey, who's openly admitted in December after his last payroll, right before the turn of the year. A lot of people wait till after that, then they roll over their company matches into a Roth account at the end of the year. They wait till all of it gets, you know, in there, then they convert it before January 1st. So that's a very common thing that people do. Some people do it twice a year, but it's easier just do it at the end of the year. See if you have the money to pay the tax on the rollover to conversion into Roth. And if you can afford it, it's the best thing to do. Do not use investment money to convert your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So word to the wise, confirm the rumors you hear.
Yes. There's a lot of bad information, Amanda, that I found out at the airlines. And that, with the work that we're doing to try and clear up all this to basic investing has been, I have gray hair from it. Social media question number two.
I think you had gray hair before that.
Yeah, I did actually. Where is a good place to store up money for a down payment on a house? Mutual fund, ETF, or an online savings account? Let me just, before I have Amanda talk about this, because you've talked about this numerous times. This is also called baby step 3B, which I don't think we've ever talked about. Baby step 3B is saving up a down payment for a house before you get to baby step 4, if you choose to do that. So I just wanted to point that out. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. So because you don't want to put it at risk of losing money, I would put it in a high yield online savings account.
Yep.
Something like Ally or Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Right now, the interest rates are just over 1%, which sounds pretty puny, and it is, but it's not nearly as puny as the interest rates you would get at your brick and mortar bank, which are more like 0.01%.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's where I would put it. It's not going to earn a ton of interest, but it'll earn something and it's going to be safe.
And we want at least to have the 20% down payment to avoid PMI, correct? Real estate agent.
And you want a 15-year mortgage at most. And what's the maximum amount?
25% of your take-home pay. the total payment of your mortgage payment, which is the only debt that we allow, is escrow, your insurance, everything, your total payment should not be more than 25% of your take home pay per month.
Yeah. Otherwise, your house poor.
Yep. And right now, with interest rates so low, and I heard talk that they could go even lower, believe it or not, if we go into a Chinese trade war again this fall with the election and everything, that they could actually go even further lower. So right now is the easiest time to get that 15-year. So social media question number three. If you have a 403B that was started at a previous job that you only worked for 2 years and no longer making contributions, would you suggest moving the amount there over to an IRA account? Basically, the question is, I left an employer. Should I leave the 401k, 403b, whatever at the employer? Should I move it over to an IRA? Yes.
Yeah.
We do not
take your money with you. You wouldn't leave your purse behind. So bring your purse with you.
I don't have a purse, but I like that. That's a good explanation.
Well, okay. You wouldn't leave your wallet there.
Yeah. I don't even know where my wallet is. I don't leave the house.
Oh my gosh.
Guys, I'm a guy. Come on, man. Your husband's probably the same way.
Yeah, he forgot to bring his mask with him yesterday when he went to get beer. So he came back and said, well, it's not meant to be.
No beer today. No beer for you. Guys, when you leave your employer, you should never leave a 401k. I shouldn't say never. I'm sorry. I'm trying to clean that up. You should not. It's not advisable. Leave your 401k, your retirement accounts at your previous employer. You should bring them over with you or just transfer to one of our favorite low-cost providers of Fidelity, Schwab, or Vanguard. Open up an IRA account, and as you leave all these companies, what'd you say the average length of time at an employer is nowadays? You said 4 years, something.
I don't remember, but it was very brief. It's like 4 to 7 years.
Yeah. So as you leave employers, just roll those over into your IRA. If it's Roth money, whatever, trust me, you call Schwab, Vanguard, or Fidelity, they will help you.
The worst thing that could happen is you could change jobs, 10 times in your career and forget you've got money at all these different accounts. And then you just, lose it.
Yeah.
But consolidate it, bring it with you, keep your money with you.
There are people out there who have like 12 accounts all floating down. And trust me, it's very possible you could forget where that money is at.
Yeah. And your compounding will happen quicker if you put all your money in one bucket.
By the way, one of the things in your upcoming Savvy Savings, we'll get to in a few minutes, talks about that missing money of a lost account you forgot about. So,
Yeah,
that's a quick way to make money. Here's social media question four from Facebook. Where do you stand?
This is a question for you. So where do you stand on actively managed mutual funds versus index funds?
I'm going to keep this brief. Active managed would be, I don't know. We've talked about this in the Facebook group. Fidelity Contra Fund, like the T. Rowe Price Growth Stock Fund, Harbor Capital. Those are all great, highly rated mutual funds. So though that's an example of a actively managed fund. There's a manager with a set of rules and that they have to follow with that fund. And that means it's actively managed. They're buying and trading stocks all day long. They have to manage the fund. An index fund is really technically automated. Vanguard's S&P 500 index funds or Fidelity, whatever, there's literally nobody managing that, Amanda. The rules are set by the Standard & Poor's S&P 500 index. These are the 500 companies. These are the percentages of our index. And the computer can literally do that automatically. It's automated. So here's the rule that we do. The S&P 500 index is the core investment within your retirement accounts, no matter what it is. When you look at the large cap growth stock mutual funds within your retirement account, if you can take that mutual fund, throw it on a graph, look at the numbers, and short term, midterm, long term, consistently beat the S&P 500 index, that's a great fund. So we do do that. I do that personally. Do you do that, Amanda?
Sorry, what's the question? I was still hearing aids.
I can't hear you. What?
I was still reading about hearing aids, which we talked about on the last episode.
Yeah, that's okay. I know you're getting old.
Yeah.
I can say that. She's in Florida. I'm in Washington, D.C., so there's a distance that she can't hit me over the head. So what I'm saying, you're in some actively managed mutual funds, your 401k and the index, right?
No, I am not. I am only in ETFs.
Oh, there you go. In one of my retirement accounts, I am not in an index fund because there's two mutual funds that completely blow away the index fund. So there's no reason to be in the index fund. It would be the Fidelity Contra Fund and the Tibor Price Growth Stock Mutual Fund. Full disclosure, I tell you what I'm investing in. And then in a 401k that I'm in, I am not in the index fund. I have 100% into one mutual fund, which people find that bizarre. Why would I do that? It would be the Harper Capital Mutual Fund because it
totally... Oh, you know what? I am in one mutual fund. It's the Fidelity 500 Index.
There you go. So you have just the index fund and then the rest of your money in ETFs, I guess. So
yes, the rest is in ETFs and in single equities. Yeah.
We've had a number of people come into our group with their 401ks and they post them so we could look at them. And they're in like 8 to 10 mutual funds. I am a firm believer in not diversifying your mutual funds because it does nothing but drag you down. I let the mutual funds diversify. Let them do all the work. And I always stay 100%. And it is always, Amanda, lawyer.
Yep.
I am always 100% large cap growth stock mutual funds, American made companies. Now, some of the mutual funds do have an Alibaba in there, but that's, you know, that's okay. It makes me money. I don't care. I let them actively manage it. So, all right, moving on. Social media question 5.
Debate that I keep having with my wife is if our financial plan says we are in great shape paying our student loans and contributing into our retirement the way we do, we continue to stick with the plan, or should I stop contributing as much and focus on getting my student loans down? Together, we still owe $117,000 on our loans with a payment of little over $1,600 a month. We both contribute 14% to our 401ks, which adds up to $1,700 a month. Any guidance would be welcome. All right, Craig, tell us about Dave-ish.
Yeah, this is an easy answer. It's a long paragraph that basically gets down to you're not following the baby steps that we coach. I'm a Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach. You're basically trying to do multiple baby steps at one time. Here's the baby steps one more time for everybody that's new listening to us. We have a lot of people watching us live as we're recording. Baby step one, it's a baby emergency fund, right, Amanda? $1,000. And if you make less than $25,000, only have $500 account. Then we go on to baby step two, which is all of that commercial debt, including student loans and car loans, credit cards, everything, store cards, anything that's not your mortgage. We're going to pay that off before we do anything else, including retirement savings.
Yes.
Then
100% in debt payment, 0% in retirement funding.
So baby step three is then we do 3 to 6 months of your household expenses stored away in a fully funded emergency fund. Then baby step four, after you do
and
all
only
that,
then.
Only then you start doing your 401k, all retirement saving of 15%. And we don't care if you're missing out on the company match. The whole point is we're throwing everything at the debt, everything at the emergency fund. Because if you don't do that later on without an emergency fund or you have debt, you're paying more in interest than you would have if you made money in the mutual funds. You're not getting anywhere. Your actions do not excuse yourself from basic fifth grade math.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet that $1,600 a month payment on the student loans is mostly interest payments.
Right. You know, the money you think you're making in retirement is a lot less than the interest you're paying. You got to get rid of the debt before you worry about it. You're not going to miss out on retirement. If you do the steps, you have a lot more money to throw at investing. And that's the whole
short answer is no, you are not in great shape.
You are doing it wrong. You're doing baby step-ish or Dave Ramsey-ish. Focus on one step at a time. Yeah. That's
and
the problem.
It's a proven winning method. Yep.
Last question from social media before we get to savvy savings. Generally speaking, what are some of the advantages of using credit unions over big banks? I'm thinking of switching to a credit union for my accounts. I'm in a credit union. I love my credit union.
Why do you love it?
Well, I had them with student loans with my kids. I don't want to hear it. This was before I got super serious. But, you know, we didn't qualify for anything for, you know, student loans or financial. Yeah, you know, that's a whole argument. I'm not going to get all. It's just the way it works when you're. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because it'll get me all. It's just how it works. If you do everything you're supposed to, you don't qualify for anything is basically what happens. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just fact. So anyway, so I had them for mortgage, everything. Typically, credit union interest rates, if you do get a mortgage or anything like that, will be typically 1% less than a big bank.
Yeah.
They also have, Amanda, 10-year mortgages. So there are people now, because interest rates are so low, they're going from 30s or 15s down to 10s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a whole different thing. But typically, credit unions, they work better for you. You can get approved better. They have better credit cards, all that. They have just better products, lower cost, and they do compete against big banks, and big banks hate it. They hate credit unions. They do not like them. They don't also have to follow the same rules that banks do. That's a whole nother argument that banks do. Because of that, they have lower cost. They can offer financial products at much lower cost. So
yeah, and their savings accounts typically have higher interest rates. Yeah. They pay dividends usually at the end of the year to all their members.
The credit union that I'm still a member of is Pentagon Federal Credit Union, PenFed.
You typically have to have pay a membership fee, like a one-time membership fee, yes. And they just keep that deposited in a savings account. So like $25 or something. Yeah.
It's a workaround. It's a membership thing. It's a workaround federal rules. And that's what the big banks don't like. So
yeah, your deposits are still insured though, just like they are at the big banks. It's just a different insurance policy.
All right. That's it for some social media questions. Guys, we love the questions. We want to hear your success stories. You can email them to podcast@rocklandusa.com and send in your questions. Post them on Facebook or all of our social media accounts or wherever you're watching this live. And we'll use them in the future episodes. We love those. Everybody has the same questions. Trust me. And we pick up the generalized ones. All right, what we got in Savvy Savings coming up next after the break?
10 ways to make a quick buck.
I like quick money. It's not from Bitcoin. So, all right, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money podcast.
Are you having trouble getting a merchant account? Maybe you need an international payment gateway, or you just got rejected by another merchant account provider. No problem. iPayTotal wants your business. Our high-risk merchant accounts allow you to accept all major credit and debit cards. Our Modo payment gateway allows accepting transactions on the phone. iPayTotal delivers payment solutions and products to help grow your business. Contact us now for your payment processing at iPayTotal.com. iPayTotal, your online payments partner.
Rockland, USA.
All right, welcome back to Rock on the Money podcast, Craig and Amanda. Great episode we got going on right now. A lot of great questions.
Yeah.
We have great listeners. I love hearing the success stories. That's why I do this.
Yeah.
It's not because we're not getting rich off it, I can tell you.
No.
What you got on the Savvy Savings with Amanda today?
We've got 10 ways to make money fast.
I want to see if I can do any of this. I'm all about making money.
So the first one is, do you have missing money in your name? So you can do a quick search at missingmoney.com or unclaimed.org, or you can Google, you know, unclaimed money and your state name, and it'll tell you if you have any leftover accounts or money owed to you unclaimed. You know, just enter your name and state, and you'll be surprised if there's unclaimed property, money, or assets. So typically what happens is if you like overpay on a debt, and then they can no longer track you down because you moved or, you know, you forgot to update your address, then that money just goes and sits in a state account and for a number of years as unclaimed until eventually the time runs out and they use it for something else.
I want to point this out that I've tried this and I did have money out there missing.
Did you get the money?
Yep. It was It wasn't a lot. It's still $180. Yeah. And I still don't know where that why? But there was money out there, $180. It could have been an old bank account when I was a teenager, or I don't know, but there was money there. So it does work, guys. Yeah, there's something you have to fill out and stuff, a little bit of paperwork you got to do, but you never know.
Yeah.
It's
along
crazy.
The same lines, and I call these pennies from heaven, because I always fill out, whenever I get a notice of a class action lawsuit, I always fill it out. And then, you know, like a year, 2 years, 3 years later, I get this check in the mail for a settlement. And like, we just got one this week for $20.
Hmm.
Yeah. So wow. Class actions. All right. Number two, earn cash back from your shopping. So we've talked about this one before. You can download apps like Ibotta. And we have a link, an affiliate link in our show notes for Ibotta. With Ibotta, earning cash is as easy as 1, 2, 3 by adding offers to your account, then buying those items at the store and uploading your receipt. There are many other apps, including Rakuten, Top Cash Back, that give you cash by shopping at participating retailers such as Best Buy, Walmart, Amazon, Priceline, and Macy's.
I want to point out that Ibotta has really been advertising on TV lately. And the only reason that I applied for an affiliate, we have a link in the show notes, it's an affiliate, is because you've talked about it numerous times. And I didn't even know what that was. Based on your experience is why we approached them. So.
Yeah. And it's really only like, I don't know, between 10 cents and $2 back on each item that you purchase. But I've gotten $175 back this year. So
and it adds up. And you, like you said, it's doing the same thing you're doing now. You're just putting your receipt in and some other steps, but you're already buying the same stuff.
A little bit of effort, but not bad.
Anyway.
Number three, Swagbucks is a way to earn free gift cards. You earn points for online shopping, searching the web, watching videos, and taking surveys. You then redeem those points for cash back from PayPal or gift cards at Amazon, Walmart, or Target.
Now, I know that sounds like a scam, Amanda. I checked it out. It's fully legit. It's been around for a long time. I actually tried it. And you get these points by just doing what you normally do. So it's... if you're looking for a way to, none of these you're going to make like millions, but if you're already doing some of the stuff where you have a few minutes to watch some videos or take a survey, why not, if you want a few, some money for your personal stash, spending, whatever.
All right. Next one is Wrapify. It turns your commuting car into a rolling advertisement. So Wrapify will wrap your car in advertising for their clients. Those with longer commutes will make more money because you're on the road longer. Some people have reported to be making several $100s in just a few months. So you have to be willing to drive around in a car that is a rolling advertisement. But
it says like... Now, I've seen people here in the Washington, D.C. area that do this because the traffic volume is like with Los Angeles, it's the highest in the nation. So obviously you're going to get paid a lot more to do this because there's more eyeballs that are looking at your car. So it definitely depends on where you're at. If you're in the middle of West Virginia and in the mountains, they're not going to do it. They want you to be in a major metropolitan area. So would you do this if you lived in a major metro area, and would you consider doing it just to make a couple $100?
If I was desperate, if I was in debt.
I mean, it's not going to do your car payment, but hey, a couple $100 in a month or two. I mean.
It might. And you know what? If you have a beater car, it might actually improve the look of your car.
Okay, that's good point. I like that.
You get a free upgrade. It's like a paint job.
Yeah,
it's a
new paint job. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, number five, Amazon Mechanical Turk. So on MTurk, Amazon will post micro jobs posted from companies that you can complete. Everything from surveys, identifying objects in photos or videos, transcribing audio recordings to researching data details. Many of the jobs require no special skills. If you work fast enough, you can earn about $6 to $10 per hour.
Now, I did sign up for this, I think, 1 or 2 years ago, and I tried it just to see what it was. And I think it was when it first came out. And there's this long list of little things you can sign up for.
Like a gig.
Yeah. I mean, if you're sitting in like these airline people, you're sitting in a hotel room doing nothing, you want to make $6 to $10 an hour, go on there for an hour or two and you can make some extra money watching TV and just doing some surveys or something. I mean, I don't know.
You can flip items from TJ Maxx, Ross, and Burlington. So these are all discount retailers. This is also called retail arbitrage, where you carefully select items from these popular discount retailers and resell them online. Many of the items can be easily sold on eBay, and some people actually make a full living by doing this. So it certainly could be a part-time job.
There are people doing six-figure incomes doing this kind of stuff. I mean, it's a lot of work. Yeah, and research involved, but once you get rolling with it, you understand the shipping costs, like we talked about at the beginning of the thing, because you can screw yourself out in your margins. Yeah. But you love TJ Maxx.
I love it.
And so
it's my favorite place to go and just walk around.
And Ross and Burlington, all these discounts, they have all the stuff that's passed down from the big expensive retailers. And if you can buy that stuff, then someone online is willing to pay more for it. But have your phone handy if you can do this stuff. You need to research as you're in the store buying.
Yeah, that's the work part.
Yeah. Sorry you have to work, guys, to make money.
Yeah. So similarly, you can work doing odd jobs or errands for TaskRabbit. It's an app where people are looking for someone to do things they don't have time for, such as hanging pictures, assembling furniture, mounting a TV, or even running errands. I've seen where people even pay to have someone stand in line for them.
Really?
Hold their place in line. Yeah.
What, for like tickets or something? Or, maybe like tickets. When the new Xbox comes out or something?
Well, and remember back a couple years ago when the Cronut first came out in New York?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was a big thing, was paying someone on TaskRabbit to hold your spot in line.
Or I guess when the new iPhone comes out and people are staying out there a couple days waiting. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I went to New York once a couple of years ago and we stood in line for the Cronut. We got up super early. We took the train over to that part of that neighborhood, and it was still dark out. We were out in the freezing cold for hours waiting in line for, because they limit your purchase to like two, and when they're gone, they're gone. It was right after the Cronut came out. And I mean, who doesn't love a donut plus a croissant filled with something delicious?
Stand in line for a donut at
like an hour or so before they actually open, then someone comes out with like a rolling cart and you can buy hot chocolate and coffee while you're still waiting.
Wait a minute. What is this thing you're talking about? What is it? It's a what? A donut.
A Cronut. Yeah.
What's a Cronut?
The combination donut and croissant.
Hmm. So you stand in line for a Cronut.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if people still stand in line for them, but... Let's see. Are Cronuts still a thing? So the Cronut is 5 years old and people are still waiting in line for it. It says, that was in 2018. So I don't know.
Okay.
But it started in 2013 and you could spend hours standing in line for a $5 croissant donut hybrid.
Hmm. Okay.
And they were only sold at one place at that time. One little small tiny bakery in New York.
Gotcha.
Anyway, a little side note on Cronuts.
Cronuts.
So you can be paid to stand in line is the thing. And while you're standing in line, you could be doing other things on your phone to earn extra money. So who knows? Number 8, if you are near a large city, you can charge electric scooters and bikes for Bird or Lime. So once you create an account on their respective apps, you can drive around town, collect low battery scooters, bring them home to charge overnight. The next day, release them back into the wild and get paid. You can then be called a Bird charger or a Lime juicer. Now I have questions on this one, Craig.
Well, I've seen old pickup trucks with tons of these in the back. So I've seen people do this.
Okay, so it must only make money on a volume, right?
Because it's volume,
one,
yes.
You're spending gas driving around to pick up and deliver them.
So
two, you're paying an electric bill to charge them. So I'm just curious if this actually makes money.
If I can find the blog post, there was a blogger out there that did a study on this, and he did all that. So he had his every cost broken down about how much he could make, and he was making a lot. But it is definitely volume. It's definitely volume. So, but I've seen like really old beat up pickup trucks in the middle of the night. Cause sometimes when I'm flying to different city, I'm not like roaming around these cities in the middle of the night, but when I was traveling for business, sometimes like I go to the airport at 3 or 4 in the morning and I seen these pickup trucks, they're dropping off the Bird and Lime scooters, whatever, and they line them all up perfectly. And I've talked to one of the guys. He goes, "Yeah, I do this part time." Once he's done, does his other job at 6 or 7 in the morning. So he picks him up in the evening. But overall, the guy that did the blog post said how much you can make, but it's definitely volume. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And of course, you're competing against other people that are out there trying to pick up the same scooters. So it's a race to find the ones that are low.
You get into a scuffle.
Ooh, a scooter scuffle.
Scooter scuffle.
A scooter scuffle.
All right. Number 9, Rover allows you to start your own pet sitting service. Sitters set their own rates, but Rover does take a 20% cut. A quick look at some of the ads shows sitters can charge $60 to $80 per night for 2 dogs. You might have to charge less if you're new with no reviews because it's based on a review system. And people read those reviews. But once you get established with all those 5-star reviews and comments, you can increase your prices. Now, I've used Rover before, love it. I only use it as someone who comes to my home and stays with my dog, but there's plenty out there who offer just drop-in and it's usually a lower rate. So you could have someone drop their pet off at your house and you could just go about your life and your business just with an extra pet in your house and be bringing in the cash.
Yep. Yeah, and they are an affiliate of ours, by the way. We have a link in the show notes based on your experience. Once again, it's a product that we believe in. So you can either do the pet sitting or use them.
Yeah, I just use them. I'm not a pet sitter.
But yeah, so
I love it. I would never put Roscoe, and this is one time I'll say never. I would never put Roscoe in a boarding place.
Is that because of health concerns or?
Health plus it would break my heart.
I got you.
Yeah, he's my little baby. He needs someone to give him love and attention and sit on their lap on the sofa. 24/7.
And for all of our new listeners and viewers, he is an English bulldog.
Yes, which update, his eye has healed. And this week he had the procedure on his hind end, the problem he was having with the anal gland. So we have got a couple weeks to find out if that worked or not.
Oh, okay.
And hopefully we'll get past this last medical issue.
All right.
And then be clear for a while, but we'll see.
It's good to hear he's doing better.
Yes. He loves to chase after grasshoppers. You know, he'll pounce on them like a cat. Pounce on them with his big giant paws, gently though, and then pick them up by like one leg in his mouth and carry them to wherever he wants them and then nudge them to hop again.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny because the grasshoppers here are like 4 or 5 inches long.
Holy crap.
Yeah, they're giant. And then last but not least, you can earn money delivering food for Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, or Postmates, or also just any general pizza delivery place. The companies say their drivers make competitive wages and they keep 100% of the tips. You can also deliver groceries for Instacart or Shipt, which we've discussed before. With Shipt, drivers on Indeed.com report making about $11 to $15 per hour. So you get the price of the job from the company, and then you also get whatever tips the person gives you. And most of these companies do have background check processes, and you know they're going through a hiring as well.
I have friends that work for an airline, and they are doing this currently because they're not flying, and they're actually making more money doing this than they were flying.
Yikes.
They're actually doing well. So a lot of airlines do an extended time off because of things are different. And so they're doing more time off to keep doing this. So the tips apparently are pretty good.
Well, especially right now, I guess.
Yeah.
People are now flying a lot more through delivery means.
Yeah. I know one of them is in Arizona, which is like Florida right now with the virus. So I guess a lot of people can't go out because they're shutting everything down again. So they're doing the DoorDash, and I can't remember which one it was. I remember Uber just bought Postmates recently. Yep. So I don't know if they're going to call that Uber Eats or what, or just keep the brand name separate. I don't know what's up with that. It was very recent. So that's great. Thank you very much, Amanda.
Yeah, that's it for today.
All right. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda, and you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.